Welcome to the CyberCube podcast. You're listening to our Cyber Pulse series, where we help the insurance industry stay on the pulse of cybersecurity trends and the threat landscape. I'm your host, Rhianna Mistry, content specialist at CyberCube, and this episode we're joined by Aviva to discuss CyberCube's new portfolio threat actor intelligence service. William Altman, CyberCube's head of cyber threat intelligence services, will be talking to James Mitchell, Aviva's senior cyber pricing and exposure manager, about this new approach to cyber exposure management. Thanks for joining us today. Let's do introductions before we get into the topic. William?
Yeah, my name is William Altman. I'm the head of cyber threat intelligence services here at CyberCube. So my team is the CyberCube Concierge team, and we've built a threat intelligence service specifically for brokers, insurers, and reinsurers. We've been doing this for about 5 years now, and today's podcast is going to touch on a really amazing, innovative service that we've come up with as part of that larger threat intelligence program here at CyberCube. So really happy to jump in, really happy to be with you here today, Rhianna, and with James also from Aviva.
Thanks, William. I'm really excited to hear more about this service. James, can you tell us more about your role at Aviva?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I'm James Mitchell. I work in the exposure management team leading the cyber function. Been at Aviva for a couple of years now, and previous to that worked at a few different global insurers working in similar exposure management roles. Aviva is proud to be the UK's leading diversified insurer, supporting individuals and businesses across the insurance, wealth, investment, retirement and health sectors. We have over 300 years of experience in insurance, and we're there to help our customers.
It's great to have you here, James. Let's dive right in. William, could you start us off?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with what it is. It's called Portfolio Threat Actor Intelligence. At the highest level, basically, this is a service that is designed to pinpoint companies in a portfolio that are most likely to be attacked by specific cyber threat actors. That's basically what we're doing here. There's more detail that we'll get into, but that's the essence of why we're talking today. This comes from the idea of cyber threat modeling in cybersecurity and cyber defense. It's a concept that's been around for a long time. It's really essential to modern cyber defense. Threat modeling is what equips defenders to anticipate, visualize, disrupt attack scenarios all before they happen. It's really a cornerstone of secure by design practices, advanced risk management, and strategic incident response. The core approaches here are identifying potential threats and vulnerabilities in a system, understanding how threat actors could compromise those systems and exploit them, and then prioritizing defenses accordingly. This is really important for modern cyber defense, and I thought, well, why couldn't we just apply that to modern portfolio risk management? Identify where those companies are in the portfolio that are most likely to be attacked by specific threat actors, and then start to prioritize that proactive risk mitigation and engagement that I know Aviva is so good at in turn. So that's really where this came from. And it's been around for a little while. CyberCube has had the data and the products to do this. But I really think two things have come along to bring this service into the forefront in a way that's deeply impactful for our clients. One is artificial intelligence and the proliferation of large language models that we can now use as part of this service, making artificial intelligence just a cornerstone of the portfolio threat actor intelligence value. And then the next is James. James came along from Aviva, one of our great threat intel partners, and he shared the vision that I had for this service and how it could be an additional nuance analysis on top of already existing portfolio management exposure strategies. So with that, you know, we really had a great partner come about in Aviva that was willing to not only work on the service with us one time, but actually implement it on a recurring basis, such that we've done multiple analyses that we continue to update together. So I'd like to just turn it over to James to talk a little bit about why you also shared the vision for this service and what you were hoping to get out of it, what's been your experience with it to date. And then I think we'll jump in a little bit and talk more about, you know, how are we using AI for the service and some of those exciting topics. But we'd love to hear from James, because James, you're key to making this happen.
Thanks, William. Yeah, I think, you know, cyber exposure management, it's been on a bit of a journey. We've got the modeled scenarios. And if you really want to go back to basics, you can just look at pure exposure and split it by different industries or revenue bands, or et cetera. And I think because cyber is such a fast moving peril, I think we need to think about keeping up to date with the landscape, and the whole process of thinking about exposure management needs to stay relevant. And so to stay relevant, having the threat intelligence tool that William's spoken about really leads us to being able to sort of, instead of being fixed on a point of just the modeled scenarios, we can see like right up to date where the threat is and be able to monitor our portfolio against current threats. And it's a new way of thinking. And I think that's really important that we look at new ways and we're not just static and thinking about exposure or like aggregated exposure or looking at modeled scenarios. We have new ways of thinking. And this new tool really lets us focus on the threat actor. And I think that's key. You know, there's sometimes thought about the scenario and how it might look. And to the crux of it, it's really useful to see, you know, if we monitor these threat actors, how will our portfolio change over time? And how do those threat actors move?
So James, it sounds like the solution has really helped your team at Aviva. And as you said, you were able to adopt this new approach to thinking about cyber exposure management. Before we get into those details, William, could you tell us how cyber threat actor intelligence works?
So it starts with threat data collection. We aggregate intelligence from digital forensic reports, ransomware data leaks, and other sources on the deep and dark web, to then come up with the behavior of known threat actors. We then use a large language model to translate all that raw tactic, technique, and procedure data from the threat actors into common kill chains for those threat actors that we can then map onto a portfolio. We then apply those insights onto, for example, Aviva's insured client base, highlighting which companies resemble known targets in terms of their firmographic traits, their use of specific technologies known to be targeted by those threat actors, as well as their security lapses and vulnerabilities that we know those threat actors like to target. The actionable output from this is actually that it helps underwriters and cyber risk teams understand which clients are at higher risk and enables targeted mitigation, more proactive portfolio segmentation and tiering, even things like tabletop exercises that are aligned with specific threat actors and their tactics for those high-value insureds. So this is really at its core what we're doing and what the service represents today and the partnership and the journey that we're on with Aviva.
Thanks, William. It sounds like a really innovative collaboration between CyberCube and Aviva. Earlier, James mentioned the fast-moving dynamic threat landscape and this idea of staying relevant. William, your team are constantly in the space, and we've heard all these terms, but what does it really mean?
It means that threat actors are changing up their tactics, techniques, and procedures to hit targets with greater efficiency and effectiveness. We can map and model those tactics and techniques and procedures such that we can get a really good understanding or a template of what threat actors do when they break into companies' networks. It was harder to do this when we first started the work together because it was very manual. You know, for example, if we were looking at a major ransomware threat actor, we would go find a couple DFIR, digital forensics incident response reports, and put together a kill chain. Now we can use large language models and we can feed those AI systems tons of information from news articles, past digital forensics reports, data leaks from the threat actors' systems themselves, all sorts of information that's too much for a human analyst to go through. We can put it into an LLM. Today, we're using ChatGPT Publiclit Instance 03 for this. And we can ask it to create a common kill chain for us that is representative of our signal set and the technologies that we track on companies' networks here at CyberCube. That's where we get into the portfolio-wide risk modeling aspect of this. So we've used AI to kind of study the threat actors in detail at scale, and then we apply it to the portfolio. I know, James, we've worked a lot on selecting threat actors that are relevant to the Aviva portfolio. I think this is also a huge part of it, where we're not just picking the threat actors that are out there in the news that everyone cares about, but that would have real potential to go after the companies in your book of business. And you've spoken a bit about what to do with that information once you get it. You've got maybe thousands of companies, and we narrow it down to 23 that are likely to get attacked by a specific threat actor. What's your hope for that information and what we do with it next? Or what have you been able to do with that information to date in terms of outreach or prioritization, segmenting and tiering the portfolio and so on?
Yeah, I think, you know, understanding the portfolio is really important, and being able to help the Aviva customers to be able to understand which policyholders are most likely to be impacted by a certain threat actor is such a useful tool to be able to help the customer, whether that be advising on specific tabletop exercises that are relevant to particular insured. I think it's really just a completely different way of thinking about exposure management, and something that helps the customer manage their risk, but also helps Aviva manage their own risk too. And I think when talking about the different threat actors and which one to pick, I think it's an interesting topic. You know, there's so many threat actors out there. We want to monitor ones that are relevant to the Aviva portfolio. So yeah, William, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely, James. It's a great part of the collaboration for us too, because we get to bring our threat intelligence expertise to Aviva and really help you learn along the way what threat actors are doing and why that matters. In turn, we then select threat actors that are relevant for your portfolio. I think there's a couple different types of analyses we do. We want to make sure the threat actor is large enough, meaning they attack enough targets and there's enough damages associated with them that we care about them from an insurable loss standpoint. They have to have previously targeted or have the potential to target the types of companies in the book, in this, those industries you are concentrated in, those company size bands you're concentrated in. We want to see some evidence that that's possible. But we're also conscious of those extraneous factors along the way that could corrode our analysis. And selecting the threat actor is really, as James pointed out, key to the success of the whole project and this research. So something we think about, we use external data sets, and we do some of our own tracking through our dark web partners and our threat intelligence partners at CyberCube. All that comes together to help us pick the right threat actors. It's something we're always thinking about when we're updating this service, trying to come up with the most relevant kill chains to reflect threat actor behavior today.
Hearing about the methodology of how you guys went about selecting those threat actors is really interesting, especially because everyone has a different approach to risk. James, I'd love for you to expand on this a bit more and talk about how, once you selected a threat actor, how do you use them to analyze and manage cyber exposure across a portfolio?
Yeah, I think with cyber exposure management, there are lots of ways to think about risk, and we need to keep thinking of new ways. And so this is a tool that allows for that. But having a threat actor that isn't going to produce the same results as running, you know, two threat actors together, they're not sort of highlighting the same policies, and maybe not going for the big name threat actors, going for other different threat actors that, you know, you'd be able to see from the portfolio where there might be differences. And it's all about seeing difference and tracking change over time. And that's something that working with William has been great to be able to sort of flesh out that methodology. And instead of just looking at it at a static point of time, you're looking at a quarter and looking at that particular in-force date and seeing how that changes from one in-force date to another. So when I talk about in-force date, I mean, in exposure management, we look at a particular day in time and looking at what policies we might have out there that would be live on that particular day. So being able to track that from one point of time to another and see how the portfolio moves is really useful to see if we've got more risk or the risk is reducing. And then being able to dig down and see which policies are driving those changes. And that's where we can go to the customers and say, you know, how can we help as Aviva to sort of improve your risk through tabletop exercises and other advice?
That's great to hear. That's our goal, you know, that you would eventually have more proactive outreach to these clients that is specific and tailored to the types of threat actors that we are recommending they prioritize. And so it's great to hear that that is also on your mind, James. You spoke about this diversification of threat actors. We've used in the past some Chainalysis data that shows us both the scale or volume or number of attacks that certain groups have compared to the amount of money that they typically charge for ransom in their ransomware or data extortion schemes. And by looking at the volume of attacks compared to the amount of money they charge in their attacks, we can start to see which threat actors prioritize maybe smaller, micro-sized companies at scale, medium-sized companies, and then those that are your big game hunting ransomware. So what we've tried to do is spread out our analysis across those different subsectors of threat actor groups based on the composition of the portfolio. So Aviva has a diverse portfolio, so we need a diverse subset of threat actors to account for that. I think James captured it really well when he said, we don't just want to be focused on those threat actors that are in the news. We want to really think deep about which threat actors could actually compromise the portfolio. James mentioned that we update this information. You know, we're working on a regular cadence here to update the kill chains because threat actors are updating their methodologies. My hope for this in the future is that we would have an always-on AI system that's constantly gathering tactics, techniques, and procedures for the threat actors we specify and allowing us to then update the portfolio threat actor intelligence in an automated way. You know, we're in the early stages of portfolio threat actor intelligence. Aviva is really the visionary partner behind this service. That's why you're hearing about it today. And there's so much more that we can do, so much more to develop in terms of technology, our understanding of threat actors and what they might do next. All of it's really exciting. And I'm just happy to be partnered with someone like James who really gets it and I think is a future leader in this industry as a result.
Yeah. And I think it's true about we need to be proactive. Cyber exposure management is, you know, relatively new if you compare it to other lines like property. But I think we need to keep thinking of new ways of doing things. And to the point of thinking about threat actors, like it can't be static. Like if we're static in a year's time, things might have changed. And the threat actor that's important today might not be the same one tomorrow.
Indeed.
So staying relevant and having that sort of process. I don't think it's about changing every few months you have a new one, because I think it's also useful to have a bit of stability and seeing how that threat actor moves and changes it. But it's about being a bit agile with it and being able to shift and say, well, actually, that particular threat actor isn't relevant anymore. Let's not continue monitoring that one. Let's pick up a new one and sort of keep it quite dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think to summarize, what we're doing with portfolio threat actor intelligence really represents a strategic shift using AI, using forensic-driven insights to align that underwriting and portfolio management practice with real-world threat actor behavior. I think this is something that is hopefully going to catch on in the industry as more and more people hear about it. I think if you're interested in learning more about portfolio threat actor intelligence, please get in contact with CyberCube. We'd love to talk to you about it.
James, any closing remarks?
Yeah, so in summary, I think it's really important for us to keep thinking outside the box, keep innovating. I think the threat landscape won't wait for us to catch up. We need to sort of be proactive and keep thinking of new ideas to help both our own risk management, but also our customers.
Thank you for listening to the CyberCube podcast, where we break down cyber risk, insurance, and everything in between. If you enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe on your preferred listening platform and tune in for the next episode. And don't forget to check out www.cybercube.com or find us on LinkedIn or X for extra content and updates. Until next time, stay informed, stay resilient, and keep shaping the future of cyber insurance.